Welcome to the Dungeon Plunger Podcast. My name is Jason Weeb, and this is the show in which I, a real-life janitor and dungeon master, teaches you how to plunge in and run a better Dungeons & Dragons game. Without further ado, let's plunge into this week's episode. What's up, Dungeon Plunger Union members? Welcome to another episode. Woo! You guys thought you were going to get rid of me. Well, I'm sorry, but the assassins failed. I am here, and I am ready to record. So let's do this, baby. What was happening last week? Well, first of all, I played some Magic the Gathering. Got my commander on, like every Friday. Friday Night Magic, baby. You guys should try it. If you've never played Commander, I highly recommend it. It's cathartic and quite enjoyable. However, if you like money, you know, I don't advise it. Unfortunately, we did not get to play Hunter of the Reckoning. We had a bunch of cancellations, and so we have rescheduled the game. But I'm still super excited to play that game. In lieu of that, I did get to play Barbarians of Lemuria with Jason Connerly of Nerds RPG Variety Cast fame. He was the game master. He was like, brah, I got this game. You gotta come. And I was like, dude, I will try my best. And so I did manage to make it. Almost had to cancel at the last minute, but I was there. And not only was Jason running the game, I got to finally meet Ray Otis, who I've listened to his podcast. Very, very cool dude. And we had a lot of fun. Also, Joe Richter of Hindsightless, who, you know, if you don't know who Joe is, you're missing out, man. This guy is full of vive de joie, which is really bad French pronunciation of, like, he's got a lust for life, okay? Everybody should be like Joe. And last but not least, we had David Johnston with us, who was a very cool dude. So I look forward to hopefully playing with these guys again one day. Hopefully, you know, sooner than later. But we'll see what happens. I'm a pretty busy guy. I got a lot of games going on, and it's hard to fit in everything that I want to do. Also, talking about Jason Connerly, him and I got something special cooking up. I don't want to give away any secrets here, so I'm just going to leave it at that. Give you a little teaser, a little tantalization, if I will. And I will. Finally, we finished off with my ladies group, the Hole in the Oak Dungeon, and, you know, trying to figure out what to do next. We were going to continue the game or try something else, and I brought up, hey, have you guys ever heard of this game called Vampire the Masquerade? And they were like, what's that about? And I'm like, oh, dude, you guys get to play vampires. And they were like, what? And I was like, yeah. And so that's what we're going to do. Next session, we're going to be making up some... Well, I'm going to probably do the bulk of it, and then I will try to get them to help me fill in the little bits and pieces for their characters. But they are all very, very excited, and it looks like we're probably going to set the game in New Orleans. That's exciting. Also, looking forward to my upcoming Twilight 2004E game this Saturday. I know that Carl D. has been hard at work. He's been doing all sorts of spreadsheets and calculations, coming up with all variety of deadly things for us to encounter. And I'm excited, man. I've been really, really enjoying this game. It's such a visually appealing, but also thematically appealing. And the rules, not so bad either, you know? So I had mentioned it to my youth group, and they were like, oh, dude, this is rad. We gotta play this. So we'll see. Last but not least, I have an interview coming up with Che Webster, dropping on Monday. It was a fun little talk that we had, and so I hope you guys stick around to listen to that. Alrighty then, let's move on to the Mimic Mailbag, shall we?
Special delivery!
Oh, God!
I hate delivering to this place.
Hey, buddy. It's so good that you did this podcast. It's really good entertainment. It's worth listening to. You bring up some very good points. And you have some amazing guests on. I'm not going to lie, I also listened to this in the car. I know you said you retract your statement about being boring, but you know, hey, I like being boring on the drive. Honestly, dude, keep the work going. You're doing good. And the new music, wow. Wow, it's good. Yeah. You know what? Takes your show up a hell of another notch. Elbows up, good sir. Keep it going. You are awesome. Keep it going. Don't stop.
And that was Matt from Pint of Cthulhu Podcast. Dude, I love you, man. Thanks for the kind words, man. I really appreciate it. And, you know, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have found the guy who gave me the music that brought this show up another notch. Thanks so much for the call, dude. Really appreciate it. And everybody should go out and check out A Pint of Cthulhu. A totally excellent and rad actual play podcast. And really, can you top a guy with a British accent saying for you to put your elbows up? I don't think so. I don't think anybody was ready for that. I know I wasn't ready for it, but I love it. And so therefore, I will elbows up, good sir. All right, moving on. Let's hit Jason Connerly. Well, let's not hit him, because he's a really nice guy, and I wouldn't want anything bad to happen to him. But let's hear what he had to say.
Hey, Jason, the other Jason. Just listen to your Law versus Chaos episode. And you wanted people to call in about Pathfinder. First, I want to compliment you on your interview with Bill Webb. I thought you did a great job there. And you've been knocking it out of the park with all your interviews. I'm looking forward to hearing the one with Rob Connolly, which will probably be out before you play this call. But you mentioned Bill Webb, and you mentioned Pathfinder. Or I mentioned Bill Webb, and you mentioned Pathfinder. And I watched your video. I went and looked at the Kickstarter, and I said, I don't need this. Do I really want it? I kind of want it. I'm not sure. So I went and listened to other interviews of Bill Webb. One of them, a YouTube interview with Undead Viking, who apparently is an old school player that I'm not overly familiar with. But during that interview, they talk about Pathfinder. And I actually think you ought to go check out that interview with Undead Viking and Bill Webb, because there's a lot of talk about Rollings versus rules and running games and things that don't have to do with that Kickstarter. But what they said about Pathfinder, especially first edition, was it's basically a combat board game. So go check that out and listen to the truth. And I will talk to you later. By the way, having played through 5 of the 6 books of Wrath of the Righteous and looking forward to finishing that adventure path out using Pathfinder First Edition, I would pretty much agree that it's at least playing through that campaign, it's pretty much a combat board game. There's definitely some role-playing involved and other stuff involved, and no doubt that's helped because I have the most awesome GM in the world running that game. But, I mean, you know, it's hard to argue it's not a combat simulator, right? So, anyway, I will talk to you later. I just wanted to throw in there, it's not like I don't play Pathfinder. Anyhow.
Damn it, Jason. I went and I listened to that YouTube video they told me to go and check out with Undead Viking. And I also, like you, was not going to back the Kickstarter because I was like, this is just too expensive and I really can't afford this. And then I saw that video, and it really put me over the edge, and I ended up bagging it. So if my wife is listening, which she probably is, I'm sorry, honey. I'll make it up to you somehow. In all seriousness, though, I do tend to agree with you when it comes to Pathfinder. I want to say that one of the best games that I ever played in was a 3.5 D&D game where we did the Shackle City campaign. And while that wasn't with Pathfinder, I mean, Pathfinder is basically the younger brother to that, right? And yeah, we had role playing, we had that stuff, but it definitely wasn't the focus of the game, right? Most of the stuff was how to overcome various combat encounters, and even though most of them, there was a lot where we didn't have to actually fight things, we did anyway, because it was fun. And, you know, like, that was a style of play that I really, really enjoyed at one time, and I think I would still enjoy doing it, but I really like the more narrative way that I've been playing, with a little more of the rules light kind of way, so to speak. But yeah, man, thanks for the call. And you know what? I'm just putting it out into the universe that if Joe Richter ever decides that he wants to run another adventure path, I would love to put my ticket into that hat, you know, to be in the lottery, to be the next player on The Price is Right. So Joe, if you're listening, pick me. Well, thank you very much for the call, Jay. Super appreciate it. And you and I will talk later. Wink, wink. Next up, we got the one, the only, Che Webster of Roleplay Rescue fame. Let's hear what Che had to say.
Jason, it's Che. Wow, that episode this week, you blew me away. I feel like I passed the torch. That idea that, you know, role-playing games are important, that play is important. As Dr. Brown says, that the opposite of play isn't work, the opposite of play is depression. The idea that games and play and creativity bring order, absolutely and totally agree. Role-playing games, playing these games with my friends has literally saved my life. Has transformed my experience. I think about the last year and a half meeting new people at a gaming table, face to face and playing. It's just transformed my experience, not just like with gaming and with those people, but like throughout my life. It's infected or extended itself into every part of my life, and you know, I'm in a better place. So thanks for the encouragement. I'm just gonna go and get a game off the shelf. You know which system it'll be. It's a bit of a crunchy one, by the way. But yeah, there's games I need to create. And there's games we need to play. So thanks for the encouragement. And consider the torch passed. You know? Dungeon plunger. Elbows up.
See, at first I thought it was just Matt. But I've come to the conclusion it doesn't matter. Any British person who says elbows up just gives more gravitas to the whole plungers up, to the elbows up. You know what I'm saying? So, Che, I just want to say thank you so much for the compliment. It's so appreciated that, you know, episode touched you. And, you know, I really don't know what to say. Like, I feel like, you know, since listening to your podcast, you know, you've really helped me view the world in a different way and approach the hobby in a different way. And like you, and because of you, I've, you know, gathered many new friends to play these games and talk about these games. And, you know, like you, they have gotten me through hard times and, you know, given me a way to just be happy. And I think that's what we all want, right? So I will accept this torch with all seriousness, as much as that I possibly can, you know, commit to, because we all know I'm not the most serious person. And I will guard it with my proverbial life and hopefully pass that torch on to the next generation. So thank you very much for your call. And we shall chat later. Now, I did get more calls. And one call, in fact, inspired the main topic. So we will get to that in a moment. But if you didn't hear your call and you called in, don't worry. I will get you on the next episode. All right. So just hang in there. But I just want you to know I really appreciate all the calls that came in. And I know that it's one of those things that it's not easy to take the time and make that call. So I really, really appreciate when you guys do that. All right. So let's move on to the main topic. This week's main topic is you owe your allegiance to Dungeons and Dragons. So this week's topic comes after I got this call.
Hi, Jason. My name is Pat Mullen, and I'm a new subscriber. And I'd like to actually ask why people who play many different genres and worlds, systems, all sorts of things, should draw any sort of universal lessons from Dungeons and Dragons, OSR, Pathfinder, or the many clones of what is basically a very Dungeons and Dragons specific way to play in terms of both setting, mechanics, and even just basic construct of the game, which is functional and involves class and level. I will sit back and await your response.
You know that classic scene out of the Lord of the Rings movie where the hobbits have arrived in Rivendell, Frodo almost died at the hands of the Nazgul, and there are finally all sitting around having a nice little chit-chat. We got dwarves and elves, and Elrond is there, and Gandalf is there, and Boromir, and you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, there's that part of it where Boromir stands up and he looks over and he's talking about how, you know, like, we should use the ring for good. And what would a role-playing game know of this situation? This is no mere role-playing game. This is Dungeons and Dragons, son of Anson and Gygax. You owe it your allegiance. Yeah, that's my impression. It's pretty good, huh? Are y'all sitting back? I know Pat is already. Of course you are. Half of you are driving in cars right now, so sit back and relax. Maybe take a sip of your preferred beverage. As a responsible podcast host, I do need to advise you to not drink and drive. Only you can prevent forest fires. Well, Pat, the short answer is that on the front cover of every 5th edition gamebook, it says that Dungeons & Dragons is the world's greatest role-playing game. But something tells me that that's not the answer that you, and all the rest of you, to be frank, really came here to hear. So you know what? Let's take a deep dive. All right, let's take a deep dive. The question is, why would people who play so many different genres and worlds, systems, draw any sort of universal lessons from D&D, OSR, Pathfinder, and clones that have a specific way of playing, including setting mechanics? I paraphrase. In a message Pat sent to further clarify his statement, he said, and I quote, "All I'm saying is, don't talk universally applicable lessons and techniques about a specific game," end quote. I can't help but feel like this is sort of an attack on my show and how I do stuff. And, you know, that's cool. So let's dive into this. First, I understand that, you know, what I say on this podcast may not appeal to everyone, and that's cool. There's only like a bajillion other podcasts, blogs, and YouTuber channels out there soliciting their advice. So no one should take what I say here as gospel. What I talk about here is what works for me. And if it can help you run a better game, then great. And if not, no stress, my dudes. Second, I have a horrible, horrible confession to make to all of you, dear listeners. I don't think that I've played a official D&D put out by Wizards of the Coast in years. Shocking, I know. These days, I really enjoy games like Shadowdark, Stars Without Number, Call of Cthulhu, Mothership, and other games like that. But I bet if you ask the majority of average people, not gamers, but just your average folk, they have no idea what any of those games are. But you know what they do know, if only peripherally? It's D&D, Dungeons and Dragons. It's a cultural touchstone. So as someone who's trying to help newcomers and veterans alike, it makes sense to gravitate towards a common idea. Like it or not, Dungeons & Dragons is the Kleenex of RPGs. It has name brand recognition. So even though there is a plethora of D20-based fantasy games out there, I and many out there would consider them all to be under the umbrella of Dungeons & Dragons. Hell, I've told those outside of my gaming circle that I'm playing D&D when I was actually playing Traveler, because why confuse them more than they already are? You know what I'm saying? We all know that. Every time you ever bring it up, you say, hey, I'm playing Dungeons & Dragons tonight, and people are like, dude, what are you going to do, put on your pointy wizard hat? But if you want to argue about being precise and how words have meaning, then let's make it clear that modern D&D from 3E to 5E each has a significant variation in how they tend to be, in how they tend to be played. Jason just said earlier on that Pathfinder is essentially a combat simulator for role-playing. Never mind the play philosophy of classic D&D, like OD&D and BX, and let's not even get into the OSR, since even that community can't even agree what that actually means. But I can hear what you're saying. If there's such diversity in RPGs that share a similar DNA, then how can you even begin to give generalized advice on all the role-playing games that are out there? And to you, I would say that's a great question. And so, in my opinion, there are two major components that all RPGs share. The first being the rules, and the second, the philosophy and or methodology in which these types of games are approached. And my episodes thus far have generally stayed away from discussing rules and mechanics, or even how to bend those rules to your will or break them to make the ultimate character. Instead, I feel like it's more valuable to share my thoughts on how to prep and run for games in general. Personally, I feel like talking system is overrated and leads to endless and pointless debates that in the end won't be the thing that's going to help you run a better game. That being said, I do think that there are rule systems that can make running the style and tone of game you want a lot easier. But I stand in my opinion that rules are secondary to running a good game, and the rule gurus and mechanics nerds will probably crucify me for saying that. But like, dude, that's just my opinion, man. You know, I know there's people out there who love to build the mechas, build the spaceships, build the ultimate badass characters. That's cool, man. If that's what you love doing, then do it. Nobody's telling you to do it a specific way. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you these are just how it works for me. But I can hear you and you're still not convinced. So in his book, So You Want to Be a Game Master by Justin Alexander, he states that the advice that he provides in his book uses the Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition rules as an example, but that the information provided is basically good for almost any kind of game that you're running. That's not an exact quote, since I don't have access to the text at the time of this recording, but the fact is he obviously believes that there's a lot of general advice in that book that's worth sharing. Still don't believe me? That's fair. Since I know that half of you are listening to this while driving your car, let me ask you about that car. Does it matter what kind of car you're driving to obey traffic laws? How about maintenance? Any general concepts like a rule of thumb for getting your tires and oil changed, or the best way to wash and shine it? Do you think there's no similarities between driving a cube van or a bus or a motorcycle in your car? Are there differences? For sure. But is it really that difficult to make the transition from learning how to drive one vehicle to another? I think not. What about warfare? We fought wars from time immemorial. The weapons and ways have changed, but there are definitely concepts that are transferable. If not then, why do they still study and teach these various battles throughout history? But look, I'm willing to concede. I'm just a regular dude. What do I know? Regardless of the game that we play, the common factor is us, the players, people. From time to time, I might delve into a topic that's specific to one particular game, but the fact is, how you are able to manage expectations of players is key. The ability to know your players, anticipate the problems that happen before they happen at the table, is a godsend. Learning how to pace a game and discover your game mastering style is just part of the journey. Understanding that game master characters and factions in your setting can bring your game to life has nothing to do with what rule set you're playing. None of those things above have anything to do with a specific game. And I am sure 100% there are many, many more examples. Whew. I need a cigarette after that one. Smoke them if you got them, people. Actually, smoking is bad, okay? So don't do that. Anyway, that was kind of heavy. So if you're still tuned in, I have a nice happy interview with Che Webster of Roleplay Rescue coming out on Monday. It's so good it might be able to cure certain erectile issues. So till then, plungers up, my dudes. May all your 20s be dice. That's all for this week, folks. Music and stingers by Reed Reimer of Fable Factory Studio. Cover art by John McNally. And a special thanks to Edward Vallee, the voice of Hector.
Greetings, listener. This is I, Hector, the real Dungeon Plunger. Not that milk drinker Jason. We in the dungeon always appreciate whatever love you can give us. So please, share the podcast, send your messages, and do anything that will unclog our algorithm. We really appreciate it. Plungers up!
And remember, when you're plunging in the dungeon and nature calls, watch out for mimics disguised as toilets. They're a pain in the butt.